I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. John Tamney, the editor and publisher of Real Clear Politics, is also the author, John Tamney. And most recently, he has published a very helpful book for the last year of the pandemic, what we've been living through. When politicians panicked, the story of the coronavirus, expert opinion, and a tragic lapse of reason. We turn now, however, to a subset of the when politicians panicked, which is China. John has written a new column identifying China not as the enemy, but as an opportunity and as a profit center and as the future colleague of American profit seeking everywhere in the world. At the same time, there is concern that China is an adversary, a confrontational adversary. And one of the Trump administration's senior counselors, Matt Pottinger, who was the deputy national security advisor, has recently given remarks at the Hoover Institution identifying the threat alert of the Chinese Communist Party and its People's Liberation Army. It is not clear exactly how these things tie together between a profit center and an armor column. But Mr. Tamney's here to help us understand. John, a very good evening to you. Matt Pottinger's remarks are alarming, as in 1938 alarming, as in batten down the hatches, the bombers are overhead. You regard these remarks as not helpful or tangential to the profit story in China. First, let's start with the profit story in China. What is it, John? How should we regard the Chinese miracle of their industrial base built so suddenly over the last 25 years? Good evening to you, John.
Hey, John, we should view it as something quite beautiful. The Chinese, it used to be the country when I was growing up that people would say, if you didn't finish your meal, finish it. They're starving in China. Now the Chinese are eating again. They're eating well. And they're eating well because they're producing enormously well for the world. Pottinger thinks, views it as a threat that the Chinese want to increasingly be the source of goods and services. But in truth, what he's describing, if true, is a sign of an abundant future for the American people. The importing country, the people who import the plenty created by others, are advantaged the most, because when you can lay off work to others, you're allowed to specialize. Work divided is what imports signal. And the more that Americans get to divide up work with the rest of the world, including 2 billion Chinese, the more they get to focus on what they do best, the more they get to prosper.
We have a dynamic economy. What does that mean when we turn our attention to Chinese manufacturing base? How does that help us or in some way compete with us, John?
It helps us enormously because let's never forget that, yeah, the Chinese can make for us T-shirts, socks, and shoes, but that doesn't harm us. That just allows us to focus on better, more higher value pursuits, on pursuits that are more associated with what we're good at. There's no doubt that Americans can make shoes well, but why not leave that to the Italians? For the longest time, we've left televisions to the Japanese. Nothing wrong with that. That hasn't impoverished us. It's allowed us to create a much better and more abundant future. Look at Silicon Valley. Look at what we've been able to evolve to in the United States while leaving manufacturing and other economic pursuits to other parts of the world. Add China to the mix, and Americans get to more and more do what they're really good at.
Mr. Pottinger is concerned, and this is a quote you include in your Forbes piece, that the China will be explicit goal. The People's Republic of China's leadership's explicit goal is making the world permanently dependent on China. Is that a threat to us, John, that we are dependent upon China for our goods?
No, that's a beautiful story, if true. Wait, that's the goal of the Chinese, to make the world dependent on them? What does that tell us? It means that they'll be creating goods and services that we really need that enable specialization. But there's a global peace angle to this, too, that very shockingly Pottinger doesn't think about. If the world is dependent on China's production, that means that China's economy and China are very much dependent on demand and production from around the world. Production is the source of demand. It's where all demand emerges from. And so the Chinese will be much less likely to want to war with a world that is actively consuming its production. To do so would be the equivalent of Gucci going to war with Beverly Hills and Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. certainly Gucci could do it, but it would be to its detriment. If the Chinese are selling to the world, the last thing they'll want to do is to go to war with it.
Mr. Pottinger also speaks and writes, Mr. Xi, the Xi Jinping is the president for life of the Chinese Communist Party, has issued guidance institutionalized this month by his rubber stamp parliament that he's pursuing a grand strategy of making China independent of high-end imports from industrialized nations while making these nations heavily reliant on China for high-tech supplies and as a market for raw materials. John, one way to read that is that Mr. Xi needs a visit with Adam Smith. Yes, he needs to sit down in 1776 and say, now exactly why is it that you, Adam Smith, are going to be adopted by the industrialized nations such as the United Kingdom? The idea, John, that China is going to be independent of the rest of us, doesn't that commit it to what you'd have to say reversing its gains of these last decades? Doesn't it make it poorer?
Unquestionably, if what Pottinger says is true, then we've got nothing to worry about China, in terms of China growing. Because what he's saying is that Xi is going to plan China's economic future. Well, that means that Xi is planning China's descent into stasis and decline. Because politicians, doesn't matter where they are, whether it's China, the U.S., Botswana, you name it, they are constrained by the known. I mean, think about it. So Xi is focusing on high-end goods. Well, what's high-end today almost certainly won't be high-end tomorrow. Do you remember in the United States when it used to be high-end to have a VHS player? Remember when that signaled you as rich? Remember when it signaled you as rich if you had a brick-sized phone? As a rule, what politicians and leaders consider high-end is on its way to becoming yesterday's news. And so if that's where China's headed, it's headed toward decline, but I don't think so. If you to visit China is to see a country that is conducting a massive and feverish love affair with everything American. Everywhere you look is an American business or product. Everywhere you go there, the Chinese are producing for the world precisely because they're desperate to get more of what Americans produce.
There's reporting recently, John, that China, following through with Mr. Xi's ambition to have high-end production of chip making. There's reporting suggesting that China's been wasting its time and money trying to imitate the chips that are available in Taiwan, in the United States, in Europe. The chips right now for extravagant use in automobiles and in industry. China's been pouring money into it with poor results. Now, John, that tells me that China's no better at specialization than anyone else, and that they're trying to imitate what's available for them on the open market. Does suggest, John, that China's leadership is deliberately damaging its economy, and I don't think there's anything we can do about that except for tell them that they're going in the wrong direction. Is there anything else we could do, John?
No, we do exactly what you say. There's this fear that somehow the Chinese are different, that when they plan economic activity, when they engage in industrial policy, that when they subsidize industries, that somehow they can do it expertly. No. The Chinese leadership is weakening Chinese businesses. They are weakening China's economy when they presume to plan economic activity. There's not something unique about the Chinese that they can withstand the economic body blows that come from government supporting and trying to direct industry. So it's passing strange when the nation most associated with vanquishing the central planning that prevailed in so much of the world in the 20th century and the movement, the conservative movement that is most associated with fighting back against the central planners is now fearful of it when it's practiced by China. What you and I described is what is reality. To the extent that the Chinese Communist Party presumes to plan economic activity, that is to the extent that the Chinese economy will grow quite a bit less, that it will be weakened. We have nothing to fear. Assuming we fear at all Chinese growth, the goal in the future will be for the leadership to plan it.
We're told that when you do business in China, you must make available your intellectual property. At least you must share it. We're told that to do business in China means that you have to acknowledge it's okay for the industries you're competing with to be subsidized by the state. Is that a negative, John, intellectual property theft and subsidization of industries in China?
Well, the negative is for the industries in China to the extent that they're subsidized by the state, simply because subsidies don't improve you. They blind you to market realities. They hold you back. They allow you to continue making mistakes that actual market forces would not allow. Now, as far as intellectual property theft, if anyone in the U.S. who's worried about the theft can tell me what IP will be valuable in the future, let's get together next week on Monday, and we'll have billions in our hands to invest by Monday afternoon just by walking around to investment banks in New York. It is incredibly hard to know what is valuable IP. We know that all the time because the richest people in the world, which they're Americans, people like Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, will tell you repeatedly that just about everything they've ever tried, they've failed at. So to presume that the Chinese, the state, once again, uniquely knows what is valuable IP and would know how to execute it on the open market defies basic common sense. And it speaks to this just very odd paranoia on the part of the conservative movement about something that it should not be paranoid about.
John Tamney is the editor and publisher of Real Clear Markets. He's writing at Forbes about remarks made by the former deputy national security advisor, Matthew Pottinger, at the Hoover Institution about the challenge of the Chinese Communist Party and its leadership led by the president for life, Xi Jinping. We're going to turn to another China story when we come back. That's the virus. And speak of John's new book, When Politicians Panicked, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Lapse of Reason. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.